Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Great is the love poured out for all, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool won the derby and Luton got a point. It's Monday, 23rd of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidusha Natarajah.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us on Monday, the start of the working week. We start with the somber news, of course, that Sir Bobby Charlton passed away over the weekend, diagnosed with dementia back in 2020. He died peacefully with his family with him, of course. But English football, and dare I even say world football, has lost an absolute legend of the game, Pete Donaldson.
It's rare in this game, personally, to see a statesman of the game spend so much time at the top of it, affecting so much of it, and he knew to be the quiet, like sometimes it's better to be a quiet person sometimes in the game. I think there's so many stars in our global game that kind of sully their legacy with silly nonsense. But he was just so kind of well put together and polite. And sometimes quite shy as well, and I think he sort of and that was such a strength of his personality. So it's a really sad. It's been a really sad weekend for a lot of people who love football, and we can't forget that players like Charlton, you know, your Nobby Styles, Dennis Law. It shouldn't be forgotten what they gave to football and what it took away from their family in their later years because of the things that it did to their brains in the end. So it's a sad day for football, but it's great that we can celebrate him.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think you make a good point there that yes, some former players, you know, what they perhaps go on to do if they get involved with FIFA.
Keegan a few weeks ago.
It's the quiet dignity thing about him, I remember, because none of us are old enough to remember him as a player. We see the clips, of course, and we hear the stories. And Andy and I were fortunate enough to be able to touch on this a little bit on Saturday on Ramble Reacts, but it's the way he seemed to just gently go through life and carry himself with this, like I say, publicly at least, with this quiet dignity.
And he was still involved in football.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not like he, of course, if he did that, fair enough, but if he went off and retired and we didn't hear too much from him and he attended the odd game here and there, he was still actively involved and yet, as you say, carried himself with dignity, which sadly a lot of people don't often do in football.
Absolutely. And I said to Andy at the weekend, the thing that's crazy about him as a player is that, of course, he goes through this incredibly tough, to say the least, difficulty and tragedy in the Munich air disaster, and then slowly pieces his life back together, rebuilds it, and is able to carry on as a player. But when you watch a clip of him and the way he strikes the ball, and the you just know the pitch, as I said to Andy, the pitch is a mud pile.
Yeah.
The ball is a rock.
Yeah.
You know,
and the boots.
And the boots are probably hobnail boots, like really heavy leather boots. Just the technique on him. Oh, yeah. It's just incredible. What a player, you know, and to get that many England caps, to win that many trophies, to be in the apex of England winning the World Cup in 66, just incredible life and incredible career. And means a lot to Man United fans as well, Vish, obviously, to say the least.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that would have become apparent over the weekend in the tributes, I suppose, is that, you know, we joke about the whole, this is Manchester United, you know, this is Manchester United Football Club. That's kind of what, that's basically because of Bobby Charlton. When you think of
the foundations, kind of thing.
Yeah, when you think of, like, you know, the Trinity that have the statue outside of Old Trafford, it's Best, Law, and it's Charlton. And he was, I think, one of the things that United fans would always see with him was, the thread of, like, the Busby Babes through Ferguson to kind of present day. It was preserved by people like Bobby Charlton, who's kept on ambassadorial roles, and also you would have seen in the tributes the number of players, let's say from the class of 92, David Beckham, posted a photo on Instagram of Charlton being there when he signed for the club. You know, that was, but you know, you talked about the quiet dignity. He was someone who was very much behind the scenes, almost basically, you know, trying to help carry that message forward. And
there was a comfort there as well. I think if you're someone like David Beckham, a young lad signing for the club, and Bobby Charlton's there, so Bobby Charlton. In my mind, that would just be like, oh, I think it's going to be okay. This is a good.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah. And it kind of speaks to, without really getting into, you know, current day United, it speaks to a club that was a family, really, that a club that really brought people through and cared for them after and looked after them in different ways. And I suppose it helps when you're someone of Bobby Charlton's talents as well, that you're always going to be someone who remains prominent around a team like Manchester United, around a club like Manchester United, because of the success he garnered there. I did think it was interesting when you kind of step away from football and you read a bit more about what Bobby Charlton meant to the rest of the world, because you kind of think of football back then as maybe as a bit closed off just because of the nature of travel, you know, the way news would travel around the world and things like that. But back in the day, if you know, when you went overseas as an Englishman, as someone from the British Isles, and you met someone who was asking you where you were from, and if you happened to be from England, their thing would be, oh, Bobby Charlton. Yeah. Much in the same way that, like, maybe when we went abroad, it would be like, oh, you know, David Beckham, Wayne Rooney, Harry Kane, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That was how revered he was globally.
We should also add that it's reasonable to suggest that he's the greatest England player ever. I mean, he's 49 goals from midfield. You know, the game was different then. It's very hard to compare eras, but 49 goals from midfield, I know that's been surpassed.
Well, there was no games like Andorra and San Marino
exactly.
as well.
Yes. It's not been surpassed by a midfield player since then. And, you know, he won the World Cup. Yeah. And in that year, he was, you know, voted the best player in the world. So, I mean, really, no one who's played for England before or since has done what he's done in as a full package.
Yeah.
So, you really, I think he can help. Not that he would probably necessarily care too much for these kind of conversations, but he can legitimately have claim to be the best England player of all time.
He played for like 10 years after he left England as well. Like he played for different clubs in like Ireland and Australia and stuff like that.
Just loved the game, didn't he? And it was only until the last England game at Wembley when England beat Italy that Harry Kane had taken over Charlton's record of scoring the most goals in Wembley for England or something.
Right,
like that.
Okay.
Like, again, that just shows you what the man achieved. So yeah, it's a great loss for football, of course.
One of the grandfathers of the game.
Yeah, exactly,
feels
similar
to when Sir Bobby Robson passed away. You know, great grandfather of the game.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And that hair as well, iconic. You don't see it anymore.
You're on your way.
I'm on my way. Yeah.
you have been saying that for about 14 years.
To be fair, when Bobby Charlton had that hair, he's about 25.
Yeah, great comb over.
Yeah.
Oh, what a man.
It's actually known as the Bobby Charlton now.
That's right. Yeah.
Touching sentiments of the guy as well.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, let us talk about what happened in the Premier League over the weekend. Liverpool 2, Everton 0. First point of admin, many of you got in touch to point out to us that Phil Neville was covering this game on NBC. Thank you for that. We appreciate that.
From one man, that a legend to another. Does he hold the flame fish?
Yeah, yeah. They've got a PA system named after him. Can we turn his mic up?
Yeah. Anyway,
we can't watch it, guys. Yeah. A lot of American listeners get in touch, so we've got Phil Neville.
I think they're pointing it out to us.
Good for you. Yeah. Congratulations to you.
Is it good for them?
Enjoy it.
Yeah. We don't know how to access those channels. No. We just don't know.
You do.
There's no way of knowing.
I was about to say, Peter.
I saw an advert where a man was reaching through the screen, grabbing my personal details and hacking me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Said, if you stream illegal in football... The man comes out of your screen and steals your social security number.
Like a really boring admin version of The Ring.
Phil Neville comes out and goes, can I have your social security number, please?
Pete, some of the channels that I didn't know existed that you've pointed me in the direction of, I think you can do football as well.
To be fair, he did just say Fireplay.
It's true.
Imagine that. Phil Neville coming in. Pete, do you want to meet Hot Singles in your ear?
Give me your details.
There's a red cross on me somewhere. Click on it.
Oh dear.
It's on the end of me knob.
Oh,
you'll get rid
shame.
Of this little advertisement.
As you'd be more of a narc, wouldn't it? You wouldn't steal a car, would you?
Would you like a VPN? Visible Phil Neville.
Please help me out. My brother's doing Dragon's Den.
Hey, that was good, VPN, Visible Phil Neville. One
visible
day,
Phil
I
Neville.
Just want that on the record.
Yeah,
that
fair
was
enough.
A
right, good.
Great gag.
Yeah. How many Liverpool fans do you think tune in to hear us?
Well, a few perhaps did, but maybe it's gone. But it was. I'm reluctant to say it was a good win for Liverpool. Obviously, a win's a win's a win. It's 3 points, a clean sheet, etc., etc. But bearing in mind, Everton were down to 10 men. They did sort of labour slightly.
Was the second yellow really all that for me?
Let's make this absolutely clear.
Yeah. Come on,
right? Ashley Young is a faithful old dog.
He's a faithful old dog.
And he's good for a yellow.
He is good for a yellow. He's good for a red.
And he was one of Gareth's beautiful boys in Russia 2018.
Craig Porson has done the decent thing.
Yeah.
He had an absolute beast. He had a complete beast. And I'll tell you something, Kelsey needs to take some of the blame. Sean Dyche for saying, do you know what? Up against Luis Diaz, a rotating front three, you know, a really dynamic Liverpool team at home, right? First thing in the morning for a footballer, you're playing right back.
Was it as bad as what De Zerbi did? I think they're going to start Doku. Milner! that one. but actually, Young, I don't think too many people would argue about that one. And
what's your argument? Your argument is then, so he gets sent off in about the 35th minute.
His second yellow just wasn't a yellow
Fine,
for me.
He'll get another one in 3 minutes' time.
He will get another one.
His second yellow was a yellow.
But Everton was. It was technically. But I just didn't think it was.
Yes, Mr. Donaldson, your faithful pet can live for another day if you want. But inevitably, you're coming back
but
here.
But Everton, up until that point, were playing quite well and they were really in the match, but it just really knocked
them out of the
sails a little bit.
You're speaking
it's
from
a good
the
point,
neutral
actually.
Position.
It's a shame. I wanted a contest.
Exactly. Mate, I agree with you. I tell you, I was angry when Jens Lehmann was sent off in the Champions League final for Arsenal. I was like, come on! This was a good contest.
There's a lovely feel about a Liverpool-Everton game first thing on a Saturday.
There is.
It feels like a nice bit of Barclays to get yourself going. Yeah. It's a proper opening salvo to a nice weekend of
it's
football.
It's sort of good. This used to be a derby.
Yeah.
This used to be competitive.
I'd like to say, by the way, that Ross Barkley doesn't play for Everton anymore.
No, he doesn't.
There was no Barclays on there.
No, there weren't. No. Exactly. Good point.
Uh-huh.
I would just add that Ashley Young looked like a... And he's been a good player.
We've covered that.
Yeah. He's. I'm just trying to do you solid.
Thanks.
He's a guy who's turned up to a fluent Spanish speaker's lesson, and he doesn't speak a single fucking word.
Hola.
He doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't know where he is.
Bien, good.
I don't think Dyche should have put him in there.
Look, whatever you say, I
didn't get bird shit in his mouth. That's
as we've mentioned before, there's a recent sort of thing of in the Premier League at the moment where if you get a booking, you have to go in really hard for your next tackle. Well, what is going on, Vish? We've seen this a few times recently, and that was just the latest one.
But it's really stupid for a guy who, as Luke has established, is old.
Yeah.
And has been around the traps and should know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, that is really, really just dumb.
He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
How old are you?
37.
He's older than Vish.
That's incredible, isn't it?
He's older than Vish.
All three of you are older than me.
I know we're not playing for a Premier League.
That's not the point, Luke.
But saying he's younger than us doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
his point.
Yeah,
he knows the age.
But he was sent off, of course, and quite frankly, it really was the only red card that should have been shown that afternoon.
Oh.
Let's talk about the red card that wasn't given to Kadar.
I can't wait for Pete's take on this. I mean,
I just like. I you watch that and you just think, what's the point? Like, if Dyche had just gone, oh, sod this, and walked off, I wouldn't have blamed him. Like, utterly ridiculous how that's not a second yellow card.
But you know, so the, obviously VAR can't, we should obviously stay here, VAR can't intervene because it's only a yellow card. If it was like a potential red card tackle, they could intervene there.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm bored
fair
myself
point.
To death.
Yeah. Fair, fair point, yeah. But the referee, but it's so obvious. Well,
this is what I mean. Yeah. So like, so what, referee Craig Pawson, yeah?
Yeah. Because he gives
the
foul.
It just happens. It happens in front of him.
Yeah.
But it's a refereeing error, and it's another one we can add onto the fucking mountain already this season.
Yeah.
Of them just being inept.
Yeah.
Mm. And is that the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one thing to be like, okay, we can blame VAR for this. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And to also have it on the other side of the ledger and be like, that's just really shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've made it in this weird shadow where they can't do anything about it. Because we'd love to blame them all the time.
Yeah, it's in that kind of black spot where they can't actually intervene anyway.
Where we're actually trusting the official in charge of the game to be, you know,
a referee.
The insult, be good.
So the insult to injury is Klopp dragging him after.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably look over at Dyche going, ooh.
Sorry about that.
Sean, he should have gone. I'll bring another player on.
Yeah.
I'll get rid of him. You want him gone, he's gone.
That would have been an amazing flex though from Klopp if he'd have just taken him off and gone, go on then. Yeah, what you got? That would have been so good. So good. It would have been counterproductive for what they're trying to do, but it would have been good. But yes, Canardi should have gone, there's no doubt about that. And Klopp said, you know, we got lucky with that one. Of course, I understand Everton's frustration. It is hard, but with time, you get over it.
Oh, that'll help.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Klopp now, because Liverpool set their stall up getting incredibly angry about one particular situation, and they had every right to. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the season, Klopp has to sort of go, he has to admit when things have gone wrong on the field. In their favour.
In football, it always comes around quick.
Of course it does, yeah.
So now Liverpool have been on the end of an upset. I mean, to be honest though, I mean, it's probably not going to change the result given what we saw.
Exactly.
And to be fair, Dyche did say that, actually. I thought Dyche post-match...
He wasn't as explosive as I thought.
And he said, you know, it totally, dictated the result, or words to that effect. He went, no, hang on, that's not fair. And then he did rephrase it. Right. And I thought, actually... You know, Dyche is, I think, you know, kind of fair figure after it, for crying out loud.
I mean, watch the match, to be fair.
Yeah, he was fair. And one thing I noticed about watching the game, and this is something that's kind of crept into football broadcasting over and over again in recent seasons. Was it me, or I know that you guys will probably be a little bit more reticent than I am to slag off fellow professionals, but was it just me, or was the commentary team just so over the top? It was unbelievable. Like, at one point, right? I mean, I just thought the commentary team were insane. It was Darren Fletcher and Rio Ferdinand. And at one point, Szoboszlai had a shot and it went over the bar. And Rio Ferdinand just went, wow!
Yeah.
And he's like, wow.
But Ferdinand doesn't often do co-coms, though.
But I think it's because, like, Gary Neville started to do his, all the time. The co-commentators now just seem to get involved over and over again.
We should say, I know this is a bit of a boring thing to say, it is an incredibly tough job. I think people think that, especially if you're doing co-coms, it's fairly straightforward.
Just do less of it then.
Fine. But I think that, you know, these patterns emerge in broadcasting, and certain phrases or certain things.
And then
it's not often, not always the pundit's fault if they have a catchphrase or they do a thing, because often the producers will be going, that was great what you did there, more of that.
I don't think it's that at all.
Okay.
Because I think what it is if you look at the proliferation of football media, and I include ourselves in this, over the last 5 years, maybe 10 years, mm-hmm. you'll notice there is just a more casual feel about it.
Like
Sky Sports, for example, trying to replicate that.
Yeah.
And I think what you see now is people trying to do that on comms, live coverage.
Okay.
It's the reason, you know, like, I like Stormzy. Mm-hmm. I like Sky's coverage. I don't think they should go together. They did a game at Old Trafford last season. Various little things like that.
Just
creeping in. So you
might feel old. You put on Sky Sports in the morning before the games and in the afternoon. It's just magazine shows presented by people with nicknames. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just nicknames front and centre everywhere.
I missed my calling.
Yeah. It's like Richard Keys has a nickname, Keezy.
Yeah.
Right? He's not saying, welcome to the Saturday Social.
With Keezy.
With me, Keezy.
Give him a chance.
I think he probably would do it, but someone said, you're not doing that.
Wearing a cardigan instead of a suit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or just unbuttoning
Bill-up slippers.
Gentlemen, we could talk about this for longer.
Do you not want to hear about Richard Keys' built-up slippers?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I'd rather talk about Mohamed Salah.
good. Yeah, another incredible contribution.
Yeah.
In a way that's just business as usual for him now.
Well, I think that's it. You know, one Lovely can finish. Forget how he is one of the best players in the world. And I think with the introduction of Haaland to the Premier League last season, Jude Bellingham this season, you know, blah, 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 one can forget just how bloody good Mo Salah is. And of course, Liverpool weren't great last season by their own lofty standards. But here they are. They're winning games. They're getting the points. And Salah's scoring the goals. And, you know, as you said, Luke, it is business as usual. But then business as usual wasn't the case last season. So they have actually improved things.
I think it's a different kind of business this year. I know Salah's consistently posted good assist numbers. I think the only thing missing from what we've seen of him this season from during the Everton game was actually his passing was a bit awry. I think his through ball, I don't know, he's like upgraded it with, he's probably bought one of those packs online and
it's
upgraded
got an
his
RTX
through
480,
passing.
Yeah.
It's absurd. Like he's always had the vision. It's just he's chosen to ignore it, you know, particularly when Sadio Mane was the one at the other end. But his all round game seems a bit more, maybe it's been a bit more facilitated by the way Liverpool are playing now. If you look at that midfield, very dynamic, very kind of like forward moving, and he's still a key part of that, particularly on the break, but he's got runners
they lacked a little bit last season. You know, they've got that little bit more thrust in that midfield, which was important, of course, and that's why they made it the necessary signing.
I don't necessarily think Salah, you know, Liverpool are title challengers when Salah is in this form. I don't necessarily think Salah is going to like beat Haaland for goals, but I think he's well in for a shout of having his most complete, as a footballer, his most complete season.
Yeah, I mean,
when I say business as usual, I mean Mo Salah, and I mean Liverpool beating Everton, and I mean,
and of course,
Salah got 30 goals last season, despite Liverpool doing, as you said, Marcus, maybe not quite up to where they wanted to be. You said he's one of the best players in the world, totally. Just one of the best players the Premier League's ever seen as well. And one of Liverpool's best ever players, which in many ways...
Hell of an achievement.
Is the largest achievement you can bestow upon him, because Liverpool have had so many good players over the years. So he's someone who you know, doesn't guarantee you anything, because no player does, but, you know, Liverpool fans rightly feel much better when he's in the team.
Yeah, and one can say, well, you run out of things to say. Yeah, but you've still got to keep saying them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if
I've never run out of things to say.
Lovely assist for Darwin.
Saudi.
Give it 6 months. Darwin Nunes with that was. I know it's a basic thing to say, because it was a pass that you would think he should made, but it was a delightful assist.
Also, just knowing with Darwin Nunes as one of the most entertaining players in the Premier League, and he is that because you don't necessarily know that he's going to make it, do you?
Exactly.
Quite a guarantee, because he might just think, you know what, I could probably bend this in for him. Yeah.
When people see De Bruyne, they go, boring. It's boring.
Yeah.
He not only will he play that pass, he'll play it on the right foot of the player, at the right pace, the right time, and it gets a bit dull, to be honest.
With a little napkin.
With Nunez, Nunez might do it with his bell end. Yeah. And it might go out of play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I want.
70 times out of 71, it'll go out of play. I'm sure Man City fans don't find De Bruyne boring, but I take the point.
But I also find Man City fans quite boring. So maybe it's a conflict. Maybe it's we'll agree to disagree.
I tried Man City fans, but I don't know why I tried.
We're not talking about your team today, so you can turn off today now if you want.
We rarely do, Con, then.
I mean,
just very quickly on Everton, fairly decent performance, you would say, especially playing large parts with 10 men. I did think it was a penalty. It's a shame for them that they conceded in that manner. But I think, you know, a couple of wins in the last few games, a couple of losses, including this one. But I think they're just
It's the kind of performance, Marcus, that the red card aside and the fact they're up against a really good team away from home, it's the kind of performance that back in the day on Match of the Day, Mark Lawrenson would say, if they carry on playing like that, they'll be fine, Gary. Yeah.
Okay.
Not enough camp pundits these days.
Yeah, I
We're doing our bit.
We are. You're doing your bit. Yeah. Jim as well, to be fair.
It's just the two lads with glasses. Unbelievable.
Our glasses absorb my accent.
You and Jim both wear glasses, and that's why I think you're also both the cleverest.
Okay, yeah, nice. So yeah,
works
cool,
both
I'll
ways. Yeah,
fine. Works both ways.
You're going to be killed by that emperor bloke.
Oh yeah, Pol Pot.
That's it. Yeah.
That emperor bloke.
That emperor. And when I take
it's
my glasses off, I become very
that
sexy. Yeah.
Oh, he's dead, isn't he? He can't hear. He can't libel the dead. I wasn't libeling Pol Pot, was I?
No. My, I'm not defending Pol Pot.
Sounds like you are, Marcus.
You are.
There's your break ID.
Let's move on.
He did a great rendition of Ness and Dorma. Okay, dearie me. Chelsea 2, Arsenal 2.
Yeah.
What a game!
It was great.
What a game.
What a game in the bridge.
No,
it wasn't a game.
It was a game ruined by the fucking weather.
Yeah.
That first half was like, it was edging.
Yeah.
It was just like... Roll properly, ball.
Yeah.
But it was a good game in the end.
Oh, right.
But the first half, I thought the first half was ruined by the way. Mother Nature needs to have a good, long, hard look at herself.
So should I do that link again? What a good game in the end.
Yeah.
There we are.
I just wanted to get it. Was really, I found it really frustrating watching that ball.
Did Mudrick mean his goal?
No.
Nah. Of course he never.
Did
definitely
he
not? Nah.
What do you think, Petey?
You're
swimming against the tide today, aren't you?
I'm pro Murphy at Newcastle at St. James's Park. His goal, obviously, he didn't mean.
Yeah.
But I think both goals were excellent.
I see. Well, it was. It put Chelsea 2-0 up, of course, and Chelsea looked pretty good.
They did.
You've got to say, they are clicking under Poch, as we've said before. The results have not matched the performances.
Was that more down to Rhea hearing about Ramsdale having a rough old time sitting on the bench and just going, doing the footballing equivalent of the thumb trick to cheer him up? Because he was just like whacking balls against defenders. It was brilliant.
Aaron Ramsdale wasn't even in the squad.
Oh,
and
right.
Mikel Arteta said before the game, he's not in the squad for the most beautiful reason, which I presume means his wife's given birth or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did feel a bit like Rhea's doing him a solid.
He's painting a landscape.
Yeah, you're going to be, for the next few weeks, you're going to be really tired.
Yep.
You're not even going to want to care about football.
Yep.
So I'll just show you that here's what you could have won.
Mm.
Even if I make this kind of error, you're not getting back in the team.
Why didn't Arteta, did nobody push Arteta? So what do you mean by that? That sounds mad.
I think it's best not to.
he's for the most beautiful, what, he's just finished a Lego set?
Yeah,
he's,
what is the beautiful reason?
What's he done, yeah.
But I think when somebody gives such a slightly strange Guardiola-like response, a journalist can go, I couldn't... Nah.
They cut your bonus.
Yeah.
So
are you going to sub the keeper?
He has been deflowered.
Pete.
Exactly.
He's made love for the first time.
It could be something like
could
that.
Could be that.
Could be that.
But if you called us up this morning and said, I'm not coming into work today for the most beautiful reason.
Yeah, we're pressing you on that.
I'd probably think you might have killed someone.
Yeah. There's shit on the wall. The most beautiful reason.
Yeah, it's got, when you do it, it's got a bit of Charles Manson vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah. another very dark reference.
Yeah. Stick around.
Stick around. Where do you go from Pol Pot to Charles Manson?
I enjoyed...
Who's going to complete the Triforce?
Jordan,
I enjoyed this game.
He did mention Jim earlier, to be fair.
Take it back to the game itself. I enjoyed this game.
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Talk to me about Cole Palmer.
It was a game. I will.
Colton Palmer.
I loved the way that he ripped the penalty off of Sterling.
Yeah.
As I said, to Andy, he's a senior pro at the club. He's like, I'm having it.
Enzo Fernandez comes over with his World Cup winners medal and just that Argentinian hardness and just goes, just give it a Cole.
King Solomon of Chelsea. Yeah. No, I think it was Cole Palmer's penalty that Sterling tried to take away.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It was what I'm saying.
Well, Sterling, I don't think has scored, is it in the league or just at all since the Luton game?
Right.
And maybe he's thinking, come on, I fancy a goal here.
It's not how it works, mate.
Well, it's not how it works. And we've seen this at Chelsea before, of course. But Cole Palmer, who scored against Burnley, was it, if my memory serves me correctly, the penalty, he stuck it away nicely. Mm. And I tell you what, you know, it was an interesting signing when they got him because you think to yourself...
40 million or so, it's a lot of money.
Well, it's a lot of money and you thought to yourself, is he going to end up on loan in the Eredivisie in 6 months?
Yeah.
Whereas Manchester City, you thought, that's strange they're selling him because there was a lot of... He showed a lot of promise. He played in the Super Cup final. Pep was sort of drip-feeding him in, if you like, in the last season.
Pep did say a few things, didn't he?
Well, he did. And
which made you think that Cole Palmer made him want to stay.
Yeah, and he said a couple of things about Calvin Phillips as well. A different sort of situation, you know, because obviously he bought him through, did not... through the academy and so on. And you thought, this is a bit of a strange one. So along come Chelsea and you think, ugh. I remember thinking at the time, is that the best move? You know,
do you want to go where there's a surplus of players?
Exactly,
already,
and especially with the young players and so on. Whereas Pochettino, we know, likes to play with the young, hungry players and so on. And I tell you what, Palmer doesn't look fazed by anything. He's come in there and he's full of beans and he looks a great player.
Well, I suppose the other aspect of the Man City thing was, you know, they lose Mahrez and you think, well, mate, there's a spot right there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Although actually he plays very differently. Like,
well,
he's
playing Bernardo Silva ahead of Cole Palmer at times.
Yes, yeah.
And Bernardo not always playing in that role. You know, he can play other roles. And I think Cole Palmer probably thought, hang on a minute, because he's, what is he, early 20s? I think he was 18 or something, you know. And I think with Phil Foden, if you look at another one who he dripped in for, to the side, Foden, like, you know, Guardiola would be saying all the time, oh, he's just wonderful, I love this player, he's the best player I've ever seen and all this kind of crap. And Foden, I think, you know, would have probably been given reassurances, but I don't think Palmer was.
No, but I suppose from Palmer's perspective as well, you're then behind Bernardo Silva and Phil Foden, and you're thinking, right, okay, I should probably go elsewhere.
Well, and then an elite club comes along.
Yeah, and if you look at the way he played against Arsenal and the positions he was taking up, they were very Bernardo Silva / Phil Foden positions. So they're always going to be obstructing in some way.
Yeah.
And as you said, like, the most impressive thing is 21-year-old coming to a new club, surrounded by loads of other players who've been there longer than you, who are finding their feet. A lot of them, people have been talking about for ages, not just over the last year. And he's not only established his place within that Chelsea ecosystem already, but on the field, just demanding the ball, you know, not least with the penalty, but also like dropping short. Mm-hmm. People thought Sterling was going to play through the middle. It was Cole Palmer. Mm-hmm. They ended up being better for it because it allowed Sterling to do what he does best and come off the wing. Just really impressive. Also, a little snapshot after his first.
Yeah, that's right.
After the penalty, which just crept wide of the post as well. Really, yeah.
It's a vacancy there, right?
Yeah.
Because Nkunku's got an injury. Nicholas Jackson's flattered to deceive a little bit. Seems like a slightly different type of player as well. Mm. Palmer hasn't always played for the middle, as you guys have touched on. He played for the middle against a good team. And Chelsea, you know, I said on Saturday, Chelsea and Arsenal had quite a lot to credit them coming out of this game. Arsenal battled back well at Stamford Bridge, which isn't easy to do. As you say, Chelsea been playing well. Chelsea were able to take that next step in their development of actually showing they can do it against a team that have done really, really well last season.
The goal that Arsenal scored, a beauty from Rice, it was a mistake.
It was a mistake
by
Robert Sanchez, right?
You know, the game goes on, the 2-0 up.
Yeah, but Palmer can be in an interesting position because we don't know when Nkunku's coming back. If Palmer carries on getting meat, if he carries on scoring, right, what's going to happen? There's a big decision to make, and it could be the best move he makes. He looks like a very confident young man. He's got a load of physical attributes to credit him. He can clearly do it at this level despite his tender age. 21 is still fairly young.
Well, it was more on the point that, you know, he wants to play now.
That's right.
He's got the talent.
And which is why he made the move, which is why I think Guardiola said lent itself to people thinking, okay, Palmer just doesn't want to stay.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be under a manager who's going to rotate so much because Palmer's not 28, 29 and wants his minutes managed and wants to play in all these different competitions. He's young. He just wants to play.
That's right.
And because there's a vacancy at Chelsea, which brings me back to my original point, he probably will play if he carries on like this.
Oh, yeah. I think the, you know, much has been made about the Euro Under-21 win in the summer as well.
Yeah,
it was a huge part of it. And I think a number of those players, it given them so much confidence. It's let's go out there and let's play. And you think, yeah, you're damn right, you know. And I think that's testament to what's going on at England as well.
On the 21s thing, I just wanted to make a quick point, which is that England have over recent years have been very successful at age group level. And the cynical side of me just thinks, despite all the changes that have happened in English football over the recent years, English players are selected a lot still because they're big and physical. And it sometimes feels like when they win an under-17s game, or a cup or a trophy or an under-18s even, whatever it may be, you think, oh yeah, they're just man grown at a younger age than some of their continental counterparts. I don't think you can say that about under-21s, which is why I think it's a far more impactful win and has given them, the players that have featured it, clearly a huge amount of confidence, and that's a great thing.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I also think one of the things they've instilled collectively around England, which has then fed into younger players moving on when they do, is that sense of, look, you're good enough now.
Yeah.
You're good enough to be pushing the full England squad here. And they go back to their clubs and like, shit, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I need to go away. Yeah.
Even I'm going to fuck Raheem Sterling up.
Yeah. Well, also,
well, Sancho before him, obviously. But even at Chelsea, Noni Madueke left Spurs early to go to PSV. Cole Palmer's now here, also at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really encouraging. And also just like young players taking ownership of their game.
It's all coming up England. You would say, I mean, Harry Maguire was man of the match for Manchester United on the Saturday night as well.
That blew my mind. The stats as well.
Yeah. Did you see, though, that in that game, the most pleasing thing perhaps was
a fan who looked like Greg Wallace running onto the pitch. Or, oh, no, he's on the sidelines.
Looks like
he?
A glazer to me.
What was all that about?
Well, MasterChef is actually back tonight. So it could have been a PR. Yeah. A
lovely bit of PR that is. Very strange, but very welcome PR.
Is that a jus he's got in his hand?
Yeah, he's sort of doing bunny hops.
He had a red wine jus in his hand. He was dishing it out to the players. So this is what you can have if you watch TV tonight.
Yeah, okay.
On Monday night.
Interesting.
And you know, like kids sometimes feed people on TV. It'd be good if it was the other way.
Like the old Ryan Gosling refusing cereal meat.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I think we should go for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Today, are we live on TikTok or one of those things? Have you got TikTok, Bill?
No, but I'm going to join.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Sorry, did you say TikTok's share price go up?
Yeah. Tell you what, when that happens, we should all get on TikTok.
I'll tell you what, Phil Neville doing what Elon Musk did to Twitter. Phil Neville's bought it for £12
billion. Oh, man.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic,
wonderful.
Wouldn't it?
Thanks to Billy for choosing today's clip. You can choose the break jingle for next Monday's show, or my intro line for this Wednesday show, of course. Just hit the link in the show notes to sign up for the Football Ramble Patreon and become a friend of the Ramble.
Can I just say, Phil Neville bought TikTok. Mm. Every time you scrolled down or scrolled up, it'd be that lady on a pen.
Yeah.
The clothes just go back on.
But it's Fizzer.
Come off again. But it's Fizzer with his swimming shorts.
He gets filled up with opinions. This I like. When he sees a nudie lady on a pen, he goes, "This I like."
What's the other
one?
Is he jogging on the beach while he's there? Oh, dear. Gentlemen, before we go back to some more good Premier League action, I want to give us all an Andy Carroll update.
Of course.
Come on.
Go on.
He scored a 40-yard lob on the weekend. He got his lob on, Peter. Yeah. It was in a draw for his club, Amiens, against Annecy, which is definitely not how it's pronounced. Yeah. But Amiens are currently 10th in League 2. Ligue 2, should I say, as we all say Ligue 1, so keep it French. Carroll scored in back-to-back games. So he's loving life there in northern France, Pete Donaldson.
It was a lovely, I'm not going to use the word stroke, but a lovely stroke from the halfway line.
It was a beauty.
And it wasn't disallowed.
No, yeah, which is rare for Andy Carroll's wonder goals. It's just seeing Andy Carroll having a lovely time.
Yeah.
It's like watching a Labrador have a lovely time.
It is.
Yeah. It's like I live for it.
But I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, where's he getting this roast dinners?
Yes, he did an interview recently, Andy Carroll. I thought parts of it were quite touching, actually. He spoke about the sort of, well, not wanting to leave Newcastle United when he'd made a bit of a splash there, going to Liverpool, and how totally different / professional it was compared to Newcastle United.
Anything to add on that, Peter?
No, not really.
So he said, like at Liverpool, it was you stayed in a hotel the night before a game, whether it's an away game or a home game as well. You know, all suited and booted when you go out.
Was my ice bath a bin? No.
Yeah.
It's not even any ice in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy, you're just in the bin.
whereas he said at Newcastle, we would meet at 1:30 for a 3 p.m. kickoff at St James's. He said, I would never forget, I used to go to this little pub around the corner of the White Swan. It was like a Toby Carvery, meat, Yorkshire puddings, loads of gravy. I would eat a full roast, full Newcastle tracksuit on, and then I'd go and play the game. That is glorious.
Fantastic.
Stuff.
The footballers should be allowed to fuel how they want. And Andy Carroll obviously had a hell of a... That's probably what's...
It will affect performances, though.
It will, I guess. Yeah. But Andy was at Preston when Sam Allardyce was in charge at Newcastle. So they could have been powered by sage, both of them. Fantastic.
Sage and onion sausages.
Sage and onion sausages.
I just think, Andy, you hear that and you go, the game has changed a lot in recent generations.
Yeah. Not there.
Andy Carroll went for 35 million.
I know.
He's literally full of beef and gravy.
Yeah.
How good could the guy have been?
Yeah.
I think the bit about that I love most is there's clearly part of him that relayed that story and was like, I know one part is bad, but there is a good part to this. Mm. And the good part to this was the pub was around the corner, so he'd never be late.
That's right.
I'm meeting you more than halfway.
If you're disciplining him there, you're thinking, that's going in the pros column.
Yeah. You had to turn up at 1:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff. It just doesn't seem right.
Imagine if you're a Newcastle fan, which everyone in Newcastle is. If you have anyone ever visits there, all of them are. And you work at the Toby Carvery and you're going and Andy Carroll walks up to get his plate because it's self-service and you're carving it and you're looking at your watch going,
I'm leaving in a minute to go to the game.
But how have we never heard about that? Because Newcastle fans aren't fucking narcs, all right?
Good on them.
A great example of that, which doesn't come up in this interview, is Andy Carroll scored a winner for Newcastle. I think it was against Liverpool at St James's Park. Got taken off on about 88 minutes, walked straight down the tunnel, showered.
Toby Carvery.
By the time everyone left, he came back out to the to the pitch because he had mates in one of the boxes.
Mm.
And so climbed through the stand to get to the box, had a few drinks in there, went out into town. They were sat in this pub at the back because they were like, oh, you know, Andy Carroll was like, our best sitting around here, don't want to get in the way. And then the Sky Sports were showing their extended highlights of that same game at like 8 o'clock. And when Carroll scored, I think he scored a brace, and when he scored the first goal,
I remember it.
Everyone started cheering.
Yeah.
And all his mates started cheering. Like, oh, he's here, he's here. Everyone went and bought him drinks and then left him alone because, like, oh, you're here for a night out, mate. Really well played.
I think that's nice.
It was incredible, yeah.
Well, it's funny because some players with regards to Newcastle said, you know, it was a bit of a goldfish bowl and they couldn't handle it. But it seems like everyone's in on it. Do you know what I mean? Up in Newcastle. I think it's glorious.
Also, I've played roulette next to Mike Williamson in the casino. Good stuff.
What kind of roulette?
Not Russian roulette. There's only two kinds of roulette. Now that would be too far.
Yeah, okay.
Toby Carvery, fine. Yeah. Revolver to the head, wrong.
No,
right?
I think it would be with a spud gun.
Pete, can you hurry up and pull the trigger, and I've got to be at the ground.
Is Mike available today? Maybe.
He's had an injury.
Yeah. The Toby Carvery vibe reminds us when someone told us that
John Hartson,
Big Johnny Hartson, used to after the game, used to go to a harvester. And have and his big post-match routine.
Unlock his jaw.
Was like
a chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like two. It was like two roast dinners.
Yeah,
and like
two
six
roast
pints.
Dinners.
Unlucky.
And every time a fan went over to him to try and
glass him,
hassle him.
He would say, "If you want a picture, I'll give you an arm wrestle."
Then the manager of the Harvester would say, "Leave him alone. He's one of our best customers. He has to stay.
He's in the VIP.
He has to stay.
String of sausages instead of the velvet raw.
He will be here till Tuesday morning buying stuff. All right, you leave him.
Don't make him uncomfortable because he might not come back, and the bottom line gets hit.
Don't startle him.
Yeah, yeah. But Andy Carroll said about being at Emmy, and he said what he loves is he can walk into the bakery and get a pan au chocolat.
Just the one.
That whole interview is I'm walking to a bakery and have a pan au chocolat. I'm cancelling my French lesson to talk to the journalist. Again, like, it never sounds like a professional at any point in this game.
He doesn't, but he's happy. But he's happy, though.
I know.
He's
very happy.
And I want him to be happy.
But I think it is because there is a little bit of sadness in his footballing story and whatnot with injuries and blah, 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 blah. But he's happy and he's scoring 40-yard lobs.
Yeah. He's happy. Are. He's scoring 40-yard lobs, and at no point do you get the impression that he's bitter.
No, that's an important thing.
He turns the lens on himself and he says, "Yep, God, I wish I would have grasped a Liverpool opportunity more." Not because, even in his own words, he doesn't necessarily think that he was a world class player, worthy of that kind of money.
Yeah,
because he even says, like, maybe I wasn't good enough, but God, I should have really made the most of being at that club and being at
and now he no longer has to live in Reading.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in France.
How many strikers need to be injured for him to be called up for the Euros?
Nottingham Forest 2, Luton 2. They're taking it back to the Premier League, Marcus, because you won't do it.
Let's do it. Luton Town rescued a point with a dramatic late turnaround at the City Ground. What was lovely about this is former England men Ross Barkley and Andros Townsend came on in the 72nd minute. Bit of a flex from Luton, you would say.
Yeah, it was.
You would say that, wouldn't
Chris
you?
Chris Wood looked unplayable as well.
Well, never seen anything like it.
Well, he missed two sitters.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But he was everywhere all game.
Yeah.
And he did score a couple as well.
Well, it's just as well he did, because I think that
his baseline is missing sitters, Marcus. Well,
I mean, this is the first time these two have played each other in the top flight since 1992. So there was a bit of a championship feel about it. Fair to say. Although Nottingham Forest won't thank me for that, because of course they were in the Premier League last season. And they are a credit to the league, you would say. They were all over Luton. The chances that they missed, you know, Chris Wood, I think, would have been relieved to see his second go in, because had he not have ended the day with at least two goals, I think that would have been slightly disappointing
from him. Yeah,
yeah. But he got them. He did score them, so fair enough. But they're 2-0 up. They're creating chances at home to Luton. If you're a Forest fan, you're thinking, how on earth did we not see that out?
Yeah.
You know, and for them, you know, it's... I think Forest will be okay. I think they'll stay up. But Luke, you know, if you're a Forest fan, you would be a bit like...
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like from watching what I could see of the performance that Chris Wood was everywhere, and he get two goals. Fair enough, he missed some chances. But Anthony Elanga was good as well. He's a big plus for them. And I think Forest will...
Just a blip. This is not a...
They've got enough quality, I think, to get
themselves out. It's not a hugely damning result, you would say.
No, and I also just think, you know, there's an element of this with Luton. I know I've been quite down on them this season. You know, it was an element where it was a bit like, let's just throw everything we can at it. Because we're away from home. This is a game we've basically written off now, because we're 2-0 down. Let's see what we can get. And the stars did align.
I think it's a boost bringing on Barkley and Townsend, especially Townsend. I think he could... What's that?
Did you see Townsend's cross for the first goal?
Goes down as assist, does it not?
I don't think it does.
I think there were too many
deflections.
I think I'm pretty sure on the minutes it was like officially given to him as an assist.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
I've got it over here. No, officially not given.
And I think Fisher's embarrassed himself there, because you can never have too many deflections.
That's true.
That's a great part of football.
The dubious assists panel said no. Yeah. We're not having this.
What was that for expected assist? I do think it's important, having said, because at the start of the season I said, and I think we all agreed, you look at that Luton squad and you think, where's the Premier League experience?
Well, there it was.
And they bring in Barkley, they bring in Townsend, that's a good thing. It's only going to be as good as they are still as players, though.
Yes.
And, you know, I think if you go into a game like that where you give away so many chances, away at an okay Premier League team, but not a brilliant one, you can't rely on the fact that the stars are going to align and you're going to have an absolute lottery ticket of a draw out of it, because every week it's just not going to happen. Mm. So they need to be able to get in control of games. It's very, very difficult how to see them get any kind of meaningful points tally away from home this season,
which puts
a massive amount of pressure on their home form.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge confidence boost. I mean, Ogbeni, the way he took his goal, it was a proper lash, wasn't it? It was a lovely
one. Beauty, yeah.
It was a really smart lash, I thought.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, near post, yeah.
And then Adebayo, the way he took that was beautiful.
Yeah.
The chest down and great composure, especially, you know, in such an important moment in the game.
Longest name in the Premier League. 73 characters.
You're joking.
Huge name. Huge. Incredible. Very few pretenders. There's another player who's got 60 characters. That's all I did this morning was count.
What are all the characters? Read it out.
Just read the name, not the character.
E-L-I. Oluwatomi, Oluwatomi, Oluwalana, Oyo Mikulehin. Adebayo.
Right.
There you go. 73.
That's 73. Brilliant.
73.
Huge name.
Do you think Luton, like maybe this is simplifying it a touch, but do you think Luton now are in a position where they're just above the relegation zone?
Yeah.
Where we've already spoken about how poor some of the teams are in this division at the moment. Do you think they can now, I mean, obviously they're only a point above the relegation zone, but do you think going forward, because of what Luke said about not really having actual Premier League quality and therefore in certain situations not having much to lose, particularly away from home, they can basically look at the teams below them in Burnley, Bournemouth and Sheffield United and think, we can basically just try and match their results to a point.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think what those three sides are doing will give Luton a huge boost. I know it sounds quite reductionist, but that's where you are. And that's the budget. You know, the Luton story is incredible. So it's not, I don't think it's unfair to say that. Because above them, Everton, for crying out loud, you know, like Nottingham Forest, you know, Brentford have been a mainstay in the Premier League, Fulham, Wolves, Palace, you know, and then you're into the top 10. They are, Luton Town, if you know, bite your hand off a 17th place, of course they will. And any of those sides, you know, Burnley, Bournemouth and Sheffield United would as well. Burnley have been the surprising ones. Just, I think you look at Vincent Kompany and perhaps we expected a little more. It's still fairly early days, though. We're only 9 games in. Bournemouth, though, you know, desperately poor, even though they're a little bit better against Wolves. And Sheffield United put up a spirited display against Manchester United, but they still lose the game. And I said when they've played Fulham the other week, just how bad Sheffield United were. So I think Luton have, and also Luton have got the goodwill of everybody, and there's a vibe about them, and the manager is an emotive sort of character, and if you can get that right, then you never know. And if old Andros Townsend can chip in with a few Premier League goals, Petey, how much do we think? From now until January,
you should cash your chips and
don't do it now. No, don't do this to yourself. That. Diminishing returns.
No,
come on.
I just want to see. You know. Yeah. I'm like, you know, like the millionaire gambler who's just, I'm just walking around a casino going, see what's going on.
I like the way, in every analogy Marcus puts out there, he always casts himself as a millionaire.
You know, always.
Luck be a lady tonight.
So guys, imagine we're just going to the pub and I'm just a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right, mate, right. Sell the Porsche, otherwise you're not getting there.
I've got a few quid, but I'm still going back to Toby Carvery.
Yeah. I'd love to see Speller on the High Performance Podcast.
Oh, stop it.
It'd be great.
I went back really and bought that
I don't think I'd have because anything watching, to say that would get him hard.
Because I'll be watching it thinking, which one's which again?
Sat up.
You could do that thing where you could covertly, throughout the course of the podcast, take over hosting duties.
That'd be great. Jake wouldn't know what hit him.
No, Jake would love it though, because then it would be all about him.
No, because then he might retire like he did from BT Sport.
So I could retire Humphreys, is what you're saying. Yeah, but then do I have to take over?
Yeah,
this is your plan. I take over for High Performance, and you go in. Oh, he gets on this, Billy. Yeah, I want to talk about my achievements.
I'd lose you from here because you've got to make sacrifices. You've got to do it.
Unbelievable.
Can I take it back to Sheffield United?
Yeah.
And they're absolutely terrible.
Yep.
And there's no way they're staying in the Premier League.
I completely agree.
They look so bad. It's an amazing job what Heckenbottom's done to get them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I know they've lost good players. I know they've got absolutely no money. I take no pleasure in saying it. But I was willing them to do something against Man United. The first 20 minutes or so, they were actually quite good. And they had chances.
Yeah, but
they didn't take them.
But Maguire's there at the back playing, putting in a man of a match performance.
Like I say, they had chances.
They're not going to get anything. Honestly, come on. You've got to give credit where credit's due.
You do. And the
starting games for Manchester United.
The Man United stats.
Because there's so many injuries.
Is he not starting games then?
No, but he is. But
he is.
Context.
The stats of Man United with Maguire on the team and Man United without Maguire on the team are surprising, to say the least.
No, they're not surprising because the games... He's played very well, but also he hasn't started a game against a top 6-7 club for a while.
Okay. Keep away from them.
And United's record against them are pretty terrible. They might have been better. I know you're going to say they've probably been better if they started him. He's playing well, though. Yeah.
I just want to say, are you going to apologise?
No.
No, okay.
It's just such a weird fight to have. You've now just after the Harry Maguire mask. And you will
I'm just saying, though, that the tide has turned because it went too far. It went way
it
too far.
It definitely went
and
too far.
Now people are kind of going, oh, no, actually, I think it's going to
It did, but
no,
he is, at the end of the day, he's a fucking meat and potatoes head on a stick.
Lovely.
Isn't yeah. he?
And lovely.
John Hartson
would have John Hartson would eat him for breakfast, lunch and
twice.
Dinner.
He would, yeah. And the goal record would stand.
Has anyone seen Harry Maguire? Oh,
John. There's a Welshman devouring him.
Someone's carving up on a toe recovery.
They are. Gentlemen, the Claret and Blue Derby happened. Aston Villa 4, West Ham United 1. Yeah. James Ward-Prowse said it was an entertaining match for the neutral.
Have it just lost 4-1?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's nothing you had to worry about, James. People are going to watch it anyway. It was on TV.
Villa, at the time of recording, because Spurs obviously play the Mighty Whites Fulham tonight, are 2 points off the top after their 11th straight home win. That is absolutely incredible. Tuesday of this week marks, or tomorrow marks, a year since Unai Emery took charge. The only clubs in Europe's big five leagues currently on longer winning runs at home are Manchester City with 14 and Atletico Madrid with 13. Incredible.
Yeah. They've been brilliant. And since Emery took over, I always thought, I mean, I think we said it on this show at the time, it was a very interesting moment for them because they were a team that had become less than the sum of their parts with Gerrard at the helm. He had been backed in the transfer market. They brought in interesting players, and Emery comes along. I don't mean this as a huge amount of disrespect to Gerrard even. I just think you look at going from Gerrard as a manager to Unai Emery and you think, is it easy to think of a better upgrade than that? I mean, given what Emery's done and given where Gerrard now is, what an upgrade it's been.
But I think people can forget what Gerrard, you know, when he came, obviously he was a promising manager because of how spectacularly well he did in
the
league.
He had a platform for sure. He'd given himself a platform,
right,
to be fair to him.
Indeed, and it just didn't happen for Villa. You know, it turned pretty toxic at the end. When Emery came along, you know, people couldn't remember his time at Arsenal, and it wasn't as good as he would have wanted. In fact, people, you know, when he left, it was pretty much under a bit of a cloud, and it, you know, I think Arsenal fans would have probably been fairly happy to see him go. I don't think we thought it was going to be this good.
Emery's won 4 European trophies and should have possibly won a 5th. You know, compared to that, it's night and day, Marcus.
It is night and day. I'm saying that I didn't think it was going to be this good.
And I think
that's my only point. I thought it was an upgrade. Of course they were going to do better. We all often talked about that Villa side and the squad and the players they had, and come on, how come it's not quite clicking? But this good is what I'm saying.
And I think it's a really interesting moment for them because there is an opportunity there. And Emery said himself, we want to be in the top 5, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's earmarked being best of the rest, if you like, and getting into the top 5, which would be huge for Villa. But I do also think there's an opportunity now in the Premier League to even go a bit further than that. I'm not saying they will do it, but if you look at the travails that Manchester United are experiencing, Chelsea, they're on the up probably, Chelsea. They're starting to improve. They look good. They may be able to force their way in there. Spurs have been able to force their way in there so far. I don't think there's necessarily anything to say that Villa couldn't do it. It's easy for us to sit here, 8 games for Spurs because they're playing tonight, into the season and go, aren't Spurs brilliant? Well, take yourself 3 months back. They just lost their best ever player. They've just lost their manager again. They've taken a bit of a gamble with a new manager. We wouldn't have been saying they're shoo-in for top 4. We'd have been saying, well, what an interesting position they're going to be in because we don't know which way it's going
to
go.
And they've had a good... You have to say they've had a good start.
And now they're flying.
But you suppose are not a shoo-in for top 4. The way they're going, it will become that.
Exactly. So why not Aston Villa with that kind of home form that you can build on? My only kind of caveat for Villa is that they do, for a team who have the ambitions they say they've got, they do tend to concede quite a lot of goals. Yeah. And that's going to probably hurt you later on in the season.
I think they're going to win the league, Vish.
Do you?
Well, let's just chuck it out there.
Fair enough.
Let's dream.
Yeah. I think you should also look through those 11 home games and you can identify some really impressive wins in there. They beat Newcastle pretty comfortably. They beat... Before, obviously,
well, even
smashing Brighton
this
season. Yeah, beating West Ham. Beat Brighton at the end of last season as well. The other games are games that you'd expect them to win. Those are games probably, you know, I even said that Brighton would, you know, I thought Brighton would turn them over at theirs and they obviously got hammered.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just the thing that was impressive about the West Ham game, I thought, and it kind of, you could kind of see stems from Ollie Watkins in the way he was at the start, at the end of the game, the way he talked about what they're doing there. They just feel like they belong.
Yeah.
At no point where they're like, oh, this is great. I wonder how long this is going to last. There's clearly a structure in place of how long it's going to last.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or rather to preserve it in that way. Well, so,
and look what he's getting out of Douglas Luiz. Now, we knew Luiz.
I mean, he's just an outstanding player.
Yeah, and again, you knew he had quality. it's why Villa got him from Manchester City. Again, you know there's a player there, but how many players can you say that in world football, let alone the Premier League? They've all got talent. That's why they're playing in these leagues. But to unlock that talent, and I mean, he looks phenomenal.
I suppose it's not even unlocking talent, is it? It's more just getting it consistently.
Nurturing it, maybe. Yeah, consistently is different. Well, Big Unai said himself, with regard to Douglas Luiz, I'm happy with him, but I think he can do better. There were some moments after he scored the two goals where we were trying to control the game and I wasn't happy because he was too relaxed. And again, that is the consistency that you mentioned there.
He's also just trying to give Luiz a reminder there, yeah. Because Luiz always plays.
Yeah.
The one thing about Luiz, and that's something we probably don't talk about enough on when we talk about football, he's just always available.
Mm.
Plays. I mean, he seems to play every single week. He's been there a while now. He's been there 4 or 5 years now.
And also, when he makes himself available, like on the edge of the box, because of his position, he's probably not being marked as much
but
as
how
the
good is he at striking a ball? Oh,
if you can hit them like that. Yeah. What a weapon that is.
Yeah.
You know, because again, if you're trying to unlock a defence and it's maybe not happening.
Like, it's like Tom Huddleston who could move.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Imagine, because Tom Huddleston had such a great technique at striking the ball, unlike anyone I've ever seen since Beckham, really.
Yeah.
But he couldn't move, really. He wasn't mobile enough for the top level.
Yeah.
But Luiz is everywhere as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's happening at Aston Villa, it's kind of reminiscent of what's going on at Newcastle. There's such a good feeling around the place.
Two big clubs as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Two huge clubs that have been fairly dormant for a while, you might argue. In terms of what they're doing at the moment, it's all happening.
I think Villa should be the blueprint rather than Watford Castle, how they got to where
sure,
they were.
Sure, sure, sure. But yeah,
from the fans' perspective, very similar.
Which team would you say is entertaining James Ward-Prowse more? James Ward-Prowse seriously think it's kind of suggesting that he was just looking around going, this is fucking great.
Well, I tell you what, David Moyes wasn't happy because he bemoaned individual errors that he felt cost West Ham and he said, I'm not having my team lose 4 goals.
Well, you are. You have
well,
to.
You are, I just did. Yeah.
Take your
we
medicine.
Saw it happen.
Take your medicine.
No, I'm not
sir.
Leaving here.
Those last two were chalked off because they were too good.
Yeah.
Bailey's feet. Too good. Not
that.
A goal.
Put Watkins on his weaker foot. Whenever you put on your weaker foot, kids. Just hit it hard and straight for the net.
It was a lovely finish.
The keeper's not expecting that.
I like to remember thinking, I've done everything right here. Mm. If he's going to do that, fuck it.
Yeah.
Pointless.
Before that, he said, well, for me, Watkins has done nothing. but there he go, you see. And then he kicked it really hard at the ball.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Sometimes
it's a simple game.
It's a very simple game. Gentlemen, let us finish today's ramble talking about Wayne Rooney's unhappy return to England from Michael on X. Said, long-time listener and Birmingham City fan here. Worried that because of the Wazza appointment, I'll be hearing more about the Blues on the Ramble. Worried because I'm very aware of the age-old adage of, if it's good for the Ramble, then it's probably not good for your club.
Yeah. Unless you're in the Premier League, the top 6 or 8 teams, the more mentions you get on the Ramble, the worse your team are. It's as simple as that. Should be some kind of law, the Ramble law.
But were they getting a mention today? Because they lost.
I mean, Wayne Rooney had an absolute Championship manager / football manager debut as a coach of Birmingham City, right? They got absolutely battered and their goalkeeper got man of the match. It's not what you need. It's not what you want.
I tell you what, just while we're there, quick mention for Leicester City, though.
Oh, they're flying. Record-breaking start.
The best start to a championship season of any team since the league rebranded in 2004.
They've been absolutely sensational.
Yeah.
Crazy manager at the helm as well.
Yep.
It looks inevitable they'll be back in the Premier League. The big man at the helm is going to keep his job, and it's going to be great to see like a mini Guardiola doing his thing.
Yeah, we thought we'd maybe had we seen the last of Vardy in the Premier League next season, he could well be back.
Imagine if he pulls out a 20 goal season in the Premier League next season.
You wouldn't put it past him.
And there's no way the type of character he is. Yeah. There's no way he's not going to play in the Premier League next season if Leicester are in there. He's not going to go because when Portsmouth got promoted to the Premier League, Paul Merson, who was the best player in the division, was like, I can't do it in the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys have a great time without me. I've done my bit.
Yeah.
And then they freed up the wages so they could sign Teddy Sheringham. It's an amazing thing that he did. Yeah. Jamie Vardy's not doing that.
No.
No way.
By the way, what about your Portsmouth boys?
I know. They don't know when they're beaten.
The
they're
Pompey
never
posse.
Beaten. Unbelievable posse.
Top of the league.
Yeah, it's great.
Get the Michellis on the pitch.
Many, many moons ago, you coined the phrase. I say coined the phrase. We're the only ones that use it. when Portsmouth went from the Premier League all the way to... The League 2.
League 2,
didn't go further than League 2. They were still in the football.
Look at see how hard Mark has had to work to remember the name of League 2. Then
no. For a minute, I was like, did they go
it
down?
Went down to the 4th division.
Yeah.
Well, I think probably at the time they did have the rebrand, but you know, it was the Pompey Highway, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, they are reversing up the Pompey Highway right now.
Back up it, baby.
They're going to be in the championship next season, Luke Moore.
I don't want to mention championship. It on the show because it means
versus Southampton.
It could be.
Maybe even Bournemouth as well.
Actually, if we bypass Southampton, they go to League One.
Look at you smiling. Yeah, I've never seen him so happy with the girls of Pompey chat in goodness knows
how long. There's never anything good happening normally. That's
Argyle,
why.
Bournemouth. Southampton, beautiful.
The Dockyard Derby.
Nice it.
I'd love to see you go up to a bunch of kids outside the college in the way.
Nice it, yeah.
All right, how's it going? Nice it.
Yeah. Like a scooter, nice it.
First day, is it? Good luck today. Nice it.
You sold that as a very pleasant Brexit.
Yeah.
Nice it.
I do have to take
who nice it, baby?
I do have to take the tone down a little bit, Marcus. It is time for me to read a prepared statement from Jack Moll, Jack's Encyclopedia Match Officials Limited. Okay. The Ramble and myself, Pete Donaldson, acknowledge a significant human error occurred on round two of Jack's Encyclopedia of Friday, October 20th, where we asked for teams that have been beaten at Manchester United since they were beaten 7-0 by Liverpool last season. The answer of Man City by Luke Aaron Moore was called incorrect by the match officials when they had, of course, beaten them in the FA Cup final. This is a clear and obvious factual error, and the Ramble have contacted Mr. Moore for an apology. We would also like to release the following audio for full transparency.
Oh, good. Both holding.
It's Torres.
That'll help.
Man City.
That's fine.
Frame two, you there?
Perfect. Check complete. It's fine. Perfect.
Yeah. Wait. On-field decision.
Fuck off. Lucky, Loki. Loki's out.
Delay the game. Stop the game.
They've restarted.
They've restarted. Yeah.
Can't do anything.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh,
that's what people don't realise. We're hearing that when we're doing the show. They don't realise what's going on.
Yeah. Oh no.
Good process, you can't.
Oh no.
So is it null and void then? Take away Jim Campbell's
we're
victory.
Still waiting for the there's the
I doubt Pete's got that far.
we should replay it, shouldn't we?
I think we should. Well, I thought we were going to replay it today, but Jim's very cowardly.
We move on.
Not turned
very cowardly.
I will be seeking advice, and I will be looking to escalate this to get an appropriate conclusion.
I'm going to back you.
Yeah,
because of course I will.
Guys, nice it.
Just nice it.
I think we've got to nice that.
Yeah, nice it.
I'm just glad you guys hear those voices as well.
Right, everybody. We should say, for more reaction on Wayne Rooney's first game and indeed all the best action from across the Championship, go and check out the Second Tier podcast. It's another football podcast we make here at Stack, and it's specifically dedicated to the Championship. And it's a great way to follow such an exciting league this season. So search Second Tier and hit subscribe.
Yeah, big up the Ryan and Justin.
There we are.
Doing the Championship bits.
Doing those bits.
They live the Championship.
They really
do. It's incredible, the level of knowledge.
My goodness.
Yeah.
You can learn a few things, Marcus.
Yeah.
After that League 2 besmirching.
Yeah.
I got it right.
Or
I took a moment, but I got it right. No.
What they should do, the absolute marks, is do a show where no one really cares whether you know anything or not.
They are.
Yeah. It's much easier.
Silly billies.
Yeah, exactly.
And on that note, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Myself, Luke, Pete and Jim are back on Wednesday. Then we have a Ramble Reacts out on Wednesday night after that evening's big Champions League games. Get your ears around all of that. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Some good stuff on X.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Vitushan Antaraja.
X going to give it to you.
And thanks, Elon Musk. See you soon.
Nice it.
Nice it.
Good process, guys.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.